Touch Podcast. Episode 14. Bonjour. Hi, welcome to a new episode of the Dr. Touch Podcast. My name is Jean-François Martin, and I'm sitting in for Oliver, who has temporarily lost his voice. He wanted to get this podcast out, so we did a trade. I'm reading this week's news for him, and then I'll get to tell you briefly who I am. More on that later. In the news, Apple apparently has seen their recent decision to pull 5,000 applications from the App Store for being overly sexual was a bit overreaching. I say apparently because no public communication has occurred, not even to the maker of swimwear app, who suddenly found his app reinstated. The app by the name Simply Beach is available for free at a rating of 5 years old and up. So if your taste is for wet and hot, then why not get this app? Even if hot is just by the sun and wet through the seawater. The only thing nicked on the application of the Simply Group is their intent on selling you articles because their apps are catalogs with built-in shopping basket. An association that was key in orchestrating the public opinion against porn on iTunes is the PTC, the Parents Television Council. They immediately took favorable notes and issued a press release applauding Apple's action. But this seems to be hard to satisfy. The press release quotes the PTC president, Tim Winter. Quote, Apple has taken a positive first step towards eliminating kids' access to sexually explicit and pornographic content on its product lineup, and we applaud the company's efforts. Apple has made a responsible move, and parents are appreciative of the company's concern for the well-being of children. End quote. First step? Seriously? What else does the PTC try to get Apple to do? Ah, right, the next day after this applauding press release, the PTC issued another one. Their new target being filthy TV shows like Two and a Half Men, Gossip Girl, and Family Guy. Apple apparently has been buying advertisement slots around these TV shows. Only in America. Well, at least none of us are in the TV sitcom business. And thankfully, we are not working for Apple. Because for these poor people, PTC is short for pain in the crouch. Besides sexy apps, Apple also continues to clean up the App Store in other areas. Recent victims of this crusade are many Wi-Fi scanners who apparently use unpublished APIs to show available Wi-Fi networks. One app that did nothing more than quack got rejected for minimal functionality. In other news, while we're still waiting for the actual availability of the iPad, a new rumor claiming that there are production problems. According to this rumor, Apple was planning to make 800,000 iPads per month, and now there might only be 300,000. This shortage could lead to initial availability being restricted to the USA. Well, we'll see. Maybe I'll be buying my first iPad in the US. Anyway, when I attend the Voice That Matters conference in Seattle end of April. Meanwhile, Apple finally announced availability for the USA. Pre-orders starts March 12th with the Wi-Fi iPad hitting store on April 3rd. You will also be able to reserve an iPad and pick it up without having to queue. For other countries, they have neither stated the local pricing nor the exact days. Actually, initially they announced it in countries like UK and Austria with Wi-Fi models shipping in late March, 3G models shipping in April, pricings to be announced. But when I checked later, the UK text turned into coming late April, while the Austrian announcement completely disappeared. An interesting footnote can be found on the US site. This device has not yet been authorized as required by the rules of the Federal Communications Commission. This device is not and may not be offered for sale or lease or sold or lease until authorization is obtained. End quote. So there might be several issues plaguing the iPad launch. They don't get the hardware due to this rumored shortage. They don't get the FCC approval because they give the US government agency too little time, and maybe they are also worried about currency exchange rates changing too much between now, late April, to commit prices. Speaking of the iPad, somebody wrote an email to sjobs@apple.com asking if the iPad would be able to tether with the iPhone, to which he got a response, no. So if you want or need to be mobile with an iPad, you have to wait for the 3G version. What actually amazes me is that not that the answer is no, is that people keep getting a response from this email address. Do we really think that Steve Jobs answers all the email he gets on his iPhone? By the way, it seems Steve Jobs is using an outdated firmware version of his iPhone, version 3.1.2. On a different matter, according to Apple, all display issues with the 27-inch iMac has been resolved. You might remember that there were two firmware updates targeting the graphics subsystem of this machine. Apple told Gizmodo, "We've addressed the issues that cause display flickering and yellow tint. Customers concerned that their iMac is affected should contact AppleCare." We are always amazed by the number of people in the financial industry whose sole job seems to be making fancy calculations out of the few numbers that Apple slips to them. In a report to clients issued Friday, Morgan Stanley's Katie Arbity offered one of her patented risk-reward snapshots of Apple. This one is even more optimistic than the last, thanks to what she sees as two new catalysts. The iPad launch in March. Arbity is anticipating unit sales of 6 million in calendar 2010, much more higher than the street's consensus of 3 to 4 million units. New iPhones in June. She's expecting new models that offer both a lower total cost of ownership and a new functionality, potentially including gesture-based technology. Tell me if I am wrong, but didn't those people at least partially cause last year's economic crisis? So why should we believe one analyst that predicts a glorious future for Apple? Well, simple, really. If you are dependent on the success of the iPhone OS platform, then you are willing to give credit to any report that predicts a greatly increasing customer base for all your apps, millions of new potential customers. Let's get coding! And one other thing. Apple has a track record of generally not doing what it is predicted to be doing. If one thing is sure, we will continue to be amazed. With all the advances in multi-touch input technology, it's only a matter of time until we see a big trackpad as a mouse replacement for Macs. The name most likely will be Magic Trackpad, as this was a recent trademark filling of Apple. Gizmodo speculates that it could either be additional sensors for MacBooks, which could detect if you are typing or gesturing and switch on and off parts of an extra wide trackpad. Or it could be a multi-touch gadget for desktop Macs. Maybe we can see something new in this area as soon as June of this year. Maybe one day I might be able to navigate around multiple files in Xcode with only gestures. But actually, I would prefer if Apple invested their innovation in things like automatic code generation or at least real-time syntax checking, just like Microsoft Visual Studio does since many years. Right now, I have to frequently hit Command-B to see my errors. Finally, Apple has launched the Mac Developer Program. Previously, you had several entry price points ranging from free for just Xcode, $500 for the entry level, and $3,500 for the big version. Apple admits that the model they introduced for the iPhone developers is more successful, so they made the Mac program more like the iPhone one. So they dropped the price and removed hardware discounts. The only thing missing now is that Apple starts an app store for the Mac. Now that would be really something. Alright, that's it for this week's iPhone and Apple news. As I said earlier, here's some information about me. First, listening to my voice, and you already know that my primary language is French. Second, I started development of iPhone apps last year in order to learn more about the internals of the iPhone. My first application is a full-featured password manager called Ultimate Password Manager. It has a nice design, and it really helps you manage your passwords. So I encourage you to get it, as I think it's the best of its class. For more information, go to www.tinysofty.com. Oh, and by the way, it includes a few parts that I bought from the Dr. Touch part store. I also maintain a developer blog at buildingiphoneapps.blogspot.com. If you are a developer, this is really for you, guys. So that's it for me. This was Jean-François Martin sitting in for Oliver. Thanks for listening. In French, we say au revoir et à la prochaine.